Today is the day of our namesake. It's a great time to talk about then, as a church, our identity. Particularly today, we hear about characteristics of this good shepherd. I don't know if you know, Jesus has a few of these times where he says, I am something. Only a few. And they're super helpful because Jesus can be enigmatic and challenging sometimes. And a lot of people wonder who he is, what's he about, what's he for. And we have these I am statements that Jesus offers, Jesus' own teachings to say, this is what I'm about. You guys could probably think of a few of those I am statements, right? I am the vine. I am the truth and the life. You know, I am the gate, you know, that the sheep come through. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Great words, powerful words. But I love good shepherd particularly, and maybe I'm biased because I work at Good Shepherd. But I really like that language. The description of himself as a good shepherd said something really important that I heard, Pastor Lauren heard, as we were discussing this series we're in right now, which is Lifelines. When times are troubling, when we have doubts, when the water is choppy, God throws us lifelines, helps us out. And this is such a great one because it's not just, oh, we have a shepherd, but there's a word put in there. He says, the sheep know my voice. They know what I sound like. They hear my voice. So we, right away, we're like, one of the lifelines God gives us is obviously this voice. That we're not leading ourselves. We have a voice that leads and guides us. They know the voice of the good shepherd, he says. And that's why we chose it as a lifeline. In times of doubt, in times where we don't know where to go or what to do, Jesus says, my voice will guide you. And even better news, you'll know my voice. You'll know it. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I say a lot in my sermons, we're not in this alone, right? I say that to the little kid, you're not doing this by yourself. I just said it. We're in this together. But I have to be honest. In this day and age, I don't know sometimes if a little more alone would be a little more helpful, specifically when it comes to voices. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anyone here deal with a lot of voices coming at you? A lot of people saying things. There are plenty of voices. One could easily make an argument. There is no shortage of voices, opinions, platitudes. Even a gluttonous extrovert like myself who loves people can say, there's quite a bit of people saying quite a bit of things. And if you think about it, I want you guys to think about the voices you hear daily. Political pundits, right? Our modern political discourse. Oh my goodness, there's no shortage of those voices telling you what you should believe, how you should vote. Then in a 24-hour news cycle, we have financial pundits telling you about the ups and downs of the financial world and what you should do, what you should buy, what you should invest in. Okay, thank you. Social commentary, we have tons of influencers. Maybe you're like, I don't watch TV, but you do have one of these phones, right? All the time there are these people telling you what you should buy, what you should be a part of, what you should do. Scott Putoff just wrote one of our inspiration points. He's got his hands up like, I'm sorry. But if you read our inspiration points, it's that there are these voices telling you all the time, if you get this, buy this, practice this, do this habit, you will be okay. No more pain. No more discomfort. No more challenges. This challenge can be solved by doing this. And it's constant. It's constant all the time that there are things that would make you happy. And coincidentally, they're for sale. You can buy them here. Just click here or go to this place. All this will make you happy and secure. That kind of abundance, I just don't think is really what the Good Shepherd's calling us to, right? As if enough stuff or the right things will make us happy. When someone's talking about their fear or outrage, when they've been hearing those voices saying, here's your enemy, here's what you should think, here's the problem today, I would say there's a popular expression. I don't know if you guys have heard this. When someone's really outraged about something they read on the internet or this is all consuming, there's an expression, Go out and touch some grass. Have you heard that expression? Go out and touch some grass. Get back to reality, man. There's a lot of this voice and energy that's just calling all your attention. And I wonder if maybe we'd be better off if we just turned it all off, right? Just turn all those sounds off. Just don't listen to anything. I don't need to hear it. I know what I think. That would be a relief. It'd be very quiet. But there's another side to that. It may be fine advice to shut off social media. But I wonder about some voices if I should. If I should, wouldn't be better to hear them out. See, if I shut off all voices, I may not hear the concerns of my neighbor. I may be ignorant to their needs, to their suffering. You don't notice the individual on the side of the Jericho Road. You guys know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? If we just had these blinders on, I'm just doing my thing, we miss the person who's in need of help. Shutting off entirely doesn't seem to be the answer. Because if we shut it off entirely, we'll fail to hear the Good Shepherd. The voice of the Good Shepherd is speaking. In the midst of that cacophony of voices, there is that good voice continually calling us to a better, longer obedience, to lovely places where we might rest, where we might be fed. It says in the Psalms, the Good Shepherd leads me beside still waters. It says that these places are good for me. The Good Shepherd doesn't allow the sheep to be abandoned or scattered. The Good Shepherd offers them protection. And more than that, he's willing, it says, to lay down his life for them. Powerful stuff. Good Shepherd who loses one sheep. You guys remember that parable? The guy has 100 sheep. One gets away. Does he abandon it to isolation and loneliness? No. He brings it back to the fold. I love that Good Shepherd. I want to hear that, so I can't just shut it off. I especially love this one this week. Even if I'm not a part of the fold, there are those who are not a part of this fold, or mine as well. They hear my voice. They know what's good. And that's what I want. Voices that we hear offering direction and satisfaction, they wouldn't exist unless we wanted that direction and that satisfaction. All of us are looking for abundance of having more than enough. Those voices wouldn't be so loud if we weren't. Ads that promise us to be satisfied if we just, until. It's selling a kind of abundance. It's just not really abundance. It's not the abundance that the Good Shepherd is bringing us to. The kind of abundance the Good Shepherd is all about. The kind of abundance the Good Shepherd wants all of the sheep to have. So what is it? What does that voice sound like? How do we discern the good voice of the Good Shepherd from the voices that seek to persuade us and sell us something? False abundance. With all the voices in our lives that say, this should be that way, that should be this way, all the needs that you have are really serious and you need to have them in order to be satisfied. Which one is the voice that is undeniably good? In scriptures, I don't know if you know this, every time Jesus goes somewhere and starts teaching, the people start coming around and listening. And those who are there for a little bit start saying to themselves and to others around them, they go, what is this? Why does he speaks with a kind of authority. I don't know what it is. Not like the scribes, not like the teachers. He's teaching in a way. And some people could argue he's teaching this great gospel lesson. They've never heard this before. But I really want us to consider the sound, the unique sound of what he's saying that makes people go, what is this? In the Black American church, they say, Dr. Charles Proctor said, it's got a certain sound, the gospel. And he has a book even says, the certain sound of a trumpet. You guys know what a trumpet sounds like. It's clear as a bell. It's strong, it's powerful. Has the ability, though, to be really soft as well and beautiful. After a moment of hearing this certain sound, the folks would tune in. They would be moved by this teaching, this certain sound. I ask, have you ever heard that sound? A sound that is clear and undeniably good. And that's what gospel means, good news. Have you ever heard the good news in a way that has been revelatory, that has changed you, that has been undeniably the word of God? I can remember a few moments. I remember after the earthquake in Haiti, we're walking through all this rubble and debris the following day, and a Haitian man, I remember as clear as day, said, God is not in the earthquake. God will be seen in the resurrection from the rubble. And I was like, whoa. It's like clear as a bell. That stuck with me. I then heard on Ash Wednesday one time, someone talk about us being made of stardust, you know, from the beginning of the cosmos. It was beautiful. And you'd think that would be the one that sticks out. But the thing that stuck out to me and is part of now my lexicon, what I use all the time is he said, resurrection only happens to dead things. As he was talking about the challenges we face. And it was profoundly powerful. This turn of phrase that was undeniably good. So what is it? What is that good news? Where do we hear that good voice? And I will give you some help. If that voice is hard to discern for you, I can tell you what isn't that voice and why. I'll give you some words from the Good Shepherd himself. Because that's what we have to help discern God's voice, is we have these scriptures. So if there is a voice that you hear repeatedly saying that great thing, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves everybody, that's good, that's good. But if you ever hear that voice then say, but Jesus loves me best, that might not be the words of the Good Shepherd, right? Favoritism doesn't exist with the Good Shepherd. There's no reality where only his flock is really doing it right. There are those not part of his flock that he wants to bring in. You ever hear some people say, some, you know, people are deserving of love and respect. Not all people, though. If you ever hear that addition to it, that the Good Shepherd believes all people are deserving of love and respect, except these people. That's not the work of a good shepherd. Those aren't the words of a good shepherd. Jesus said, I come for the lost sheep of Israel, the ones that are scattered. If you ever hear a voice that says, it's better if someone just wasn't here. It'd be better if someone was lost, forgotten, put away, taken away, never a part of this. That doesn't sound like a good shepherd who goes to find that one sheep. The lost sheep. Scapegoating is not the practice of a good shepherd. Hear this one. If you ever hear a voice, saying, you don't have enough. You need to acquire more. You need to buy something or do something in order to be better. If you hear a voice saying you need to achieve this level of success in order to be valued and loved, in order to be worthy. If you ever hear a voice that says you aren't enough without this, I would argue that's not the good shepherd who cares enough for their sheep to say, that's not good grass for you to fill up on. I'm going to lead you to better pastures. I'm going to guide you to true abundance. There are a lot of loud voices, very loud, very confident, telling you who's wrong, what is wrong. But again, you might be a loud voice. I have a loud voice. I don't know if you know that. I'm kind of loud sometimes. But if we're the loudest person in the room, challenge to myself and to anybody who is the loudest person in the room, sometimes we can't hear the quiet voice of the Good Shepherd leading us, guiding us, challenging us to listen. Are we starting to better understand who the Good Shepherd is, what his voice sounds like? Because we have so many of his words, recognizing within the cacophony of voices we encounter, Jesus is calling us to something good. Truly good. Goodness in true abundance. Not just acquiring stuff. I say this, I've said this before. I don't want my tombstone to say, I wish I'd bought more crap. Isn't that abundance? That's not true abundance. The good news is regardless of what we hear, the amount of voices we hear, the cacophony, the good shepherd is continually calling us and saying very clearly, the tomb is empty. The good shepherd is still leading. We're invited then, as people of God, to tune our ears, not shut it off. Not shut off the cries of others. We are to tune our hearing so that we know what we're listening for. To respond to that voice, to its guidance. If we ever forget, if you ever struggle, the great news is also we have a community. A community to be a part of, to look towards the Good Shepherd, to hear the Good Shepherd's voice, to hear again that all are welcome. That God means to save the whole world. All means all, right? We are invited to hear that, to know of that kind of true abundance that God is providing all people. And for that, I say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this community. Thanks be to God for a voice that keeps on calling us, continues to speak to us. Hope we all can tune our ears to hear it. Amen.